Let us read God's word from the book of Revelation before we pray. Revelation 22 from verse 6. And the angel said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Praise the Lord for his precious and holy word. We would like, as it is said here, to worship God. Here, this John prostrated himself to the angel and wanted to worship him, but he was not allowed to do so. He said, worship God. And we know, only to the living and true God is due the worship and praise. Dear brothers and sisters, that is why we are gathered here again this evening. We are gathered here to offer him glory and worship. We know it is a serious and evil time. We hear nothing good, only cruel things that happen here and there. But you know, We are not to look at all these things, but we must fix our eyes on the Lord. Here it says, he who is evil, let him continue to be evil. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. But also he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That is it. And he who serves the Lord shall continue to serve him. And that is what we want to do. That is our sincere desire also tonight. May the faithful Lord be with us and bless us. May also our hearts and our mouths, dear brothers and sisters, not remain closed in the hours in which we come together, but that we exalt his holy name. You know, we love him. We come together because we love him, because we want to worship him. That is the purpose and the reason why we come together. And so, let us lift up his name and thank him that he has carried us until this moment and until this hour, as on eagle's wings, to his name be the glory. Let us rise now and pray. We thank you for these hours of grace. We thank you for these gatherings. We thank you for your word, O Lord. We thank you for the blessings. We are always privileged to receive from your word, also tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we give you alone the glory, for thou art worthy to receive praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Continue to be with us and speak to us, Lord, by your word and by your Holy Spirit, O Lord. May you reveal yourself mightily. We wait for your appearing, that you make yourself known. Lord, you know the time and hour. How cruel it is on earth. O Lord, how many murders, how many assassinations, O Lord. O my Savior, we look up to you, for we know all things must come. Your word has said it. We look up to you. Bless us as we pray. Also the sick, we lay everything before you. Savior of grace, have mercy on all who look to you, who trust in you. May you help, Lord, for the sake of your holy name. Continue to be with us, is my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord, that we may sing and believe it, that he has the same power, that he is able to bless. When we heard the words here like this, and of the hope which we have, of the message of salvation, of grace, of the Spirit-wrought love that is spoken of, then we cannot but thank the Lord that he has made these words become truth in our lives. It was not only a message of salvation, not just a message, but it has brought salvation. Not just a message of grace, but grace was the message. Salvation was in the message of salvation. Grace in the message of grace. The peace in the message of peace. It says, blessed are the feet of those who proclaim peace. But what touched my heart here is the thought of the Spirit-wrought love. In the last verse, we all read along, and we were also told about the love wrought by the Spirit. Everything that has not been wrought by the Spirit of God will not stand the test. Only that what the Spirit of God has done in your life and in my life will stand the test. Even in the greatest and worst trial, whatever it might be. Well, in the word of introduction, we have heard some things, and also here my thoughts have gone from that time to our time. God has sent his angel to help John on the Isle of Patmos to make everything known, and that which was to be made known was intended to indicate to all the servants of God to communicate what was to take place shortly. But we have to say just as well that God sent his angel to Brother Branham. And we cannot or will not judge, but without revelation, we would not have known all these things. We would have been like everybody else and would have thought about it. But it says here so wonderfully, these words are reliable and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel, not some angel, but his angel, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. God has always had ways and means to do things. And there is one scripture that says in the Old Testament, I send my angel before me. That is sometimes a mystery, sometimes not, however you see it or how you know it. But here we read that the Lord has sent his angel to indicate to his servants what is to happen shortly. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And Brother Branham recently said in a sermon, it is not enough to hold this book as the word of God in our hands, but God's word must become a living revelation in our hearts, and then it will get totally different. Who can keep the words of prophecy? Of course, only he who has understood that we are dealing with prophecy, Bible prophecy, and that we live in a prophetic age in which all these words are revealed and made known, and we have heard them and understood them by the grace of God. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, not only hears them. It always says in the Seven Church Age messages, he that heareth what the Spirit says unto the churches. Here at the end, it is not only about hearing, but about holding on to what we have heard and what God has spoken. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And also this is mysterious here, when it says here, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. But he saith unto me, See thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets. Yes, that is actually very clearly said. There is no need to interpret at all. There was no angel, no cherubim, no seraphim here. But someone who actually came to this man of God with healthy feet on this island of Patmos. And we are grateful that God opened our eyes, that we can see what it is all about. John wanted to worship, and yet, says the angel, I am just one of thy fellow servants, one of your brothers, of the prophets. Worship God. That's the thing. And he even says, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Very simple. One doesn't need to puzzle anymore, but one sees it very clearly, who it was. But whether we know it or not, it doesn't matter. Important is that we understood what was spoken. That's important. Everything else is not important. Whether God used a Paul or a John or whomever he used, that is not so important. What is important is that we have understood what God has spoken. Then it goes on to say, And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Before that, everything was sealed. The book was in the hands of God. It was not only sealed, but sealed with seven seals. But after the Lamb opened it and revealed it, after it was made known, it was to be sealed no more. The access was free. But for whom? For all those who have been pardoned by God, to hear what has been in this sealed book. And you all know that in our days, God has again sent one of his servants, a prophet. And all of us sitting here tonight and know the Word of God well, we don't need to ask at all. We know God has never used anyone else but prophets. Whether it was an Abraham, a Moses, an Elijah, whoever, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets have spoken in the name of the Lord and have wondered, what is the time to which the Holy Spirit has pointed them? It were never scribes, but prophets. And these prophets, they worked in the field on one day and were prophets the next day after God called them and revealed himself to them and sent them. Let us think about all of them. Who was a Moses? He looked after the cattle of his father-in-law Jethro. Quite a high personality for our terms today. If here a shepherd would come, all would take off their hats. All would bow down to him and think he is very special. Not at all, we would think, this poor man. Such people are not that poor, at least not then, when God reveals himself to them. Then all of a sudden, things become very different. But one thing Brother Branham once said, he said, the secret that God always used the simple people was this. they were not full of all the other things, of religion and all that. They waited until God revealed Himself to them and put His word into their hearts and mouths. And of Moses he says that he had 40 years to learn and gain wisdom in Egypt. And it took God 40 years to destroy this wisdom for him again. And then he revealed himself to him so that he could go and do what he had to do. Now, there is another verse that stands out to me. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The first two words we can perhaps understand a little better than the last. One would say that if someone is holy, then he is holy. And more than holy, he cannot be. And he who is justified is justified. And more than justified, he cannot be. But you know, it goes deeper and deeper. And when in John 17 it is written, Father, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth, then we know that sanctification is also an ongoing process. Each time God reveals the truth of His word to us more deeply and anew, we are penetrated anew by the truth of the word and sanctified deeper and deeper. That's just the way it is. It's not something you and I can do overnight or say, now I'm holy. The sanctification by God is completely different from yours and mine. Ours is external, God's is internal. That what we do is our work. What God has done is His work. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 of our Lord, He is made unto us wisdom, redemption, and sanctification, everything in Jesus Christ our Lord. But we must accept it. To actually accept the effect of this grace of God in our lives. But we realize that God has revealed His word and that He has penetrated us with His Spirit and that His word has taken shape in us. And in that moment, we all know in the beginning was the Word. We have just now translated a sermon. Dear Brother Branham says, at first God spoke into the darkness, let there be light. And then He separated light from darkness. God speaks and reveals His Word. And His Word is holy. And all who accept His revealed word are sanctified in the truth. Thy word is truth. But it is so that God's word as truth is written down, and yet only then does it accomplish anything in your life and in my life when it is revealed to you and me through the Spirit as a living, fresh truth from the throne of God. Then, in our hearts and in our lives, will come forth what God wants to have. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. That is to say, not to stop anywhere, but to the extent that God speaks to us and reveals His word and will, that we respond and let ourselves be penetrated by His word and His spirit. For where God's spirit is at work, there the word must go forth, and where the word goes forth, the spirit works. The one cannot be separated from the other. For our Lord says, the words which I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. Wherever the Lord speaks, there is spirit and there is life. I was also struck by verse 16. Yes, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. If you read in chapter 1, verse 1, or if you hear or read what some write, then they always add something into that first verse. They cannot cope with the fact that it is written, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Also this German Bible here made a mistake here in brackets. This absolutely doesn't belong here. This unto him is John and no one else. This is very clear from this verse and from other verses. Because here it is Jesus himself who speaks and says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. This is the testimony of our Lord and Savior, which he himself has given. And then the words, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. May this be the wish and prayer of all of us tonight, to come to him who is the source of life, to ask him that he blesses us, that he will give us to drink, as he told to the woman at the well, whoever will drink of this water that I will give him shall never thirst throughout all eternity. May he water with delight as with a river and give out of his abundance grace for grace. And also the word from the Gospel of John, known to all of us, and also recently quoted here. But it is the best to always read it carefully. Then you know what is written. In the last day, John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So, only where the Holy Spirit falls, where a fountain opens, a spring of life, where it is opened by God in your heart and in my heart, only there can he flow, and we realize that we are not able to do it by ourselves. No matter how much we try, we cannot do it. It is a work of God that must happen. And like on Pentecost, we sing in a chorus or in a song, "So baptize us all today." Our solution is in God's response alone. And God's answer is not in words. God's word is in words, but God's answer is in action. And that is what we wait for. That's what we believe, that God will do it by grace. You all know, you will feel the same way as I do, maybe not entirely, but we would do anything if we got God's answer. If God would turn his face to us, and sometimes we ask ourselves, "How long, O Lord, in view of the soon return of our Savior?" One is sometimes under the impression that every day could be the last, and one don't know when the Lord comes. But one thing we should all know, as we are now, I don't think we are quite ready for the rapture. I think one should be honest and ask yourself the question, and we shouldn't generalize it either, but leave it up to each person, because it could well be that some are actually ready. I really don't want to deny it to anyone, and I know that I will be there, but there is still a great need on my heart because of the people of God. Somehow, it must come to this, that the Lord does something. It may be that the way the enemy has done everything, there will have to be a trail to get there, that God will reveal himself, that he will testify himself anew, that he can confirm his word. You all know, if you translate the sermons and hear it again and again in almost every sermon, "He that believeth, these signs shall follow," promised to the believers. They will be in his life. And if Brother Branham, a few times, today we again translated it, he uses this typical example and says, "If Beethoven would live in me, then I would do what Beethoven did." And he says, "If Shakespeare lived in me, I would do what he did." And then he says, "If Christ lives in me or dwells in me, then it cannot be otherwise than that what he has done should be done." And things make sense. We know they are true. These are not just arguments. These are comparisons that no one can ignore. It makes sense. These are comparisons that are before our eyes, and we have to examine ourselves on them. How do we get there? By persevering and believing God and trusting Him. And we know that everything can change from one day to the next. How a revolution can come out of the blue. It may be planned for a long time, but then it comes suddenly. So God might have planned things a long time, and suddenly it comes to pass. Unexpectedly, God will reveal Himself. Do you think this world is expecting things to come upon it? Do you think the Pope knew this morning that he was going to be shot a few times today and that he would be taken to hospital? He didn't know that either this morning when he got up. Who knew what? Who? What do we know? We are humans, forgetful and weak. We don't even know everything we once knew. We have already forgotten many things. But God knows everything. He knows the day, He knows the hour, He knows the time. And our brother and sister Gajdač have been singing for some time. He knows everything, all my thinking, all my doing. I may rest quietly in His arms. He who believes enters into the rest of God. And all those who are restless and cause trouble have not entered into the rest of God. They may sing psalms with tongues of angels. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All of this weighs nothing. Only the facts. They have their weight. Everything else, any human being can do or not do. Only what God really does, and that will become a blessing for others. Everything that God does will become a blessing for others. And there will never be two things coming from one source. Either it is a divine source, and divine things come out of it, or not. One of the two. But as we said last Wednesday, we are not interested in to judge anyone. But for us it's important that God wants to show mercy, that He confesses, that He reveals Himself, and that He blesses. We really live in the very last time. Who is still sure of his life? Who knows when he gets up in the morning, whether he can still go to bed in the evening? Who knows? But there will come a day for many who will have a hard time to live their last hour on this earth. There will be many who will have great difficulty in the last hour of their lives. And they wished then to be able to speak a few words, and it will no longer be possible. People will fall into despair in their distress. God has spoken, and whoever receives the speaking of God in himself will be filled with the Spirit of God who has spoken. And this is the true sanctification in Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be sanctified in the truth. And the Lord says, my word is the truth. And he who has understood this begins to rest in God, and he can give thanks. Although, as I said earlier, it is a great pain because of the people of God. And this pain, no doctor, no syringe, no cajoling can appease. It can only be stilled or taken away by God. But one thing is sure, we cannot help but believe with all our hearts. For the Lord has spoken. He has revealed His word and His will. And He who has begun he will also finish in you, in me. And if Paul even then spoke of a church which will be without spot and without wrinkle before the throne of God, then it is not just said or written, then it's true. It will be a blood-bought multitude before the throne of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and by grace we may be also part of them. Amen.